This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck.
Welcome, Caps fans. What is going on? Welcome to What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The Caps, they've had a pretty good week since last we talked. A couple wins, a bad loss. Lots to talk about. I was there for that loss, but joining me to talk about...
Yeah, your bad luck.
Apparently. Coach Dan, you're bad luck for the Bears. Apparently, I shouldn't go to Caps games.
That is so true. I am the worst luck for the Bears.
Those poor guys. Last time I haven't been to a Caps game. I didn't go at all last year, so I guess it was two seasons ago. It was right around election time last time, because I get off work for elections. So I usually go on election night to see the Caps. But, man, what should we talk about this week? Because the Caps went to overtime with Winnipeg. They looked really good against Florida. And then they lost pretty poorly to San Jose. Why don't we talk with the win about Florida? It took a little while for them to figure out how to score on Luongo. But once they got it going, man, they really kept moving and were able to get a couple goals pretty quick. Is this something that you think the Caps need to be concerned about, that they're maybe not scoring as much as they can or could, or that they're hitting hot goalies at a specific time? What do you think the Caps have been? How do you think the Caps have been showing so far?
I mean, they've had their games where they're playing pretty well, and they've had their games where they look pretty ugly. And there's definitely some concerns with this team right now in terms of the way they've been playing. I'm concerned with the lack of goal scoring in some games. I think the San Jose game was more of a rarity, but then as you go back and look at the schedule, all the games that they've lost have been against teams that are in the top half, if not even top third of their division, whereas they've been beating teams that aren't very good or even potentially struggling to beat some teams that aren't very good. And so this is still a team that is struggling to – sort of find themselves and to find their identity and to play better hockey like they were playing last season. I mean, currently, this is a team that you expect them to be scoring at such a phenomenal rate. They are currently sixth out of eight teams in the Metropolitan in goals scored with 33. The Rangers are currently leading with 58.
Jeez.
Now, the Flyers are, if we're just going based on points, which is how it works in hockey, the Flyers are in sixth place. Now, it's still early. They're only 3 points behind the Capitals, but they have also scored 49 goals, but they've also given up a ton. And so the Capitals are currently fourth in the division in their goal differential with plus six, but they're third on points. So they're still – it's very tight right now. In terms of the way things are, they're only 3 points behind the Rangers and played two less games. They're only 3 points behind the Penguins and played one less game. But I feel like this team is definitely not where it needs to be. They're not playing as good as they can be. And I think they still haven't solidified necessarily what these lines need to be and who should be playing together.
I think there's still a little bit of a question mark there. It's definitely the top two lines, I think, are solid. I think that's kind of where you want to be. You saw what happened with Oshie. He got bumped down to the third line when he got moved back up with Backe and Ovi. He kind of lit the world on fire, and I think he got two goals the night that he got moved up. So, yeah, they're still finding themselves. Lars Eller is just now saying he's kind of feeling comfortable where he's at, but he's kind of been – his line has been rotating a lot. He's had Oshie with Williams. He's had Samford on his side. Then he doesn't. Sanford and Connolly go to the bottom, the fourth line. So yeah, they're still juggling. I don't want them to peak too early. We see what happens when that happens. But I'm right there with you. It's been a concern since the beginning of the season that these guys aren't beating teams that they are potentially going to see in the playoffs. We saw them get beat up, just mauled by Edmonton. We've seen what happened the first game against the Penguins, and they'll have that test coming up next week against the Penguins again. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned that these guys – that they're not beating teams that they should. And I'm also concerned that they're losing leads and they're not looking – they're looking sloppy. just the San Jose game, being there in person, seeing how poor the passing was and how they weren't taking shots on goal when it was obvious that there was just an open net a couple times. It's been very uneven. I don't know. I kind of feel like until they – maybe next week after they beat Pittsburgh, that monkey on their back of last year might actually come off at that point. I don't know what's going through their heads right now.
I mean, it's kind of going where I feel like I go back to – I believe it was Alzner who said that the team is just not – they don't have the mental – they're not in that mental place that they need to be in. They don't have the energy or the drive or the desire that they had last season at this point. And so – you know, we're still waiting for them to get there, and you have to believe that eventually this team is going to get there, and it's going to take some time. We talked about how it's so – I mean, it's got to be difficult to go into something like a professional league and to play and play and play as long a season as the NHL has, and then to come out of it without having won when you had such high hopes.
Yeah,
is difficult. And so – to then try and like gear yourself up again for another season, I mean, that's got to be. I don't know. It's just it's got to be difficult to sort of wrap your head around it.
I mean,
we read about how Kuznetsov had such a hard time.
Yeah.
After the season, in terms of the way he was handling it, and so it's interesting to see how these players, if they're going to be able to come out of it and sort of wake up. I know it's still early; they've only played 12 games, but it's getting to a point where we're like, guys, and like starting to nudge them, like, hello, wake up.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, I know I've kind of gone through that depression. I haven't put on a Caps jersey yet this year. I wore their T-shirts and stuff like that, but I haven't, you know, christened the season with a jersey.
What did you wear to the game?
I wore a Violent Gentleman Hockey Club T-shirt. It was red.
Now we know why they lost. Well done, Brandon.
It was red, so it counts. Just say.
Poorly done. Poorly done, sir. Poorly done.
But, like, I haven't broken out any of the Caps jerseys, and I didn't watch any of the World Cup, and we know my feelings on the Fan Fest and what happened there. So, like,
you're still so mad.
I still am. Like, it has affected my, like, because that's the, we're not going through that again. We're just not. But, like, I understand having that monkey on their back. I'm hoping that's what it is, and that they can kind of get over that hump. Because I think they still have the last year in the back of their minds going like, we worked really hard. Look where it got us. Same place it got us the year before.
Nowhere.
Yeah, nothing. What about this San Jose game? They got outplayed. They got outmuscled. They just played poorly. The Sharks just have the Caps number. I don't know why, but for every time I've watched them, San Jose is just like, you know, clean the clock of the Capitals. It's just crazy. Last year, remember, I mean, Ovi was benched, but last year was 5-0. This year it's 3-0. I don't know. I don't know if everyone was just thinking about the election on Tuesday night and they just weren't focused, but it was a bad game to attend.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games where I hate to say it, but they were like due for a loss. I mean, they were on a 5-game winning streak. You're not going to win every game, so they're due to get one, but you would have liked to have seen it be a little bit better played on their part. I feel like this team – it'll see how they respond. We had this before where they lost the 2 games in a row, and we were like, oh, what's going to happen? And they rolled off 5 straight. So if they go into the next couple of games and they're able to rebound from this and they go in and they win the next couple – then it's like, all right, it's not so bad. But we need to see them start beating teams that are good and are supposed to be good. You know, we need to see them beat teams that have the expectations of the playoffs. And Florida has expectations of the playoffs. I'm only working right now. I know the Islanders do, but they're struggling at the moment. They're 7th in the division. Florida is 6th in theirs. I mean, they're losing to teams. I mean, Edmonton, who embarrassed them, are 1st in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the Rangers, who are 2nd, and they lost to Pittsburgh, who's 1st in the Metropolitan. And so we need to see them start beating these teams that are ahead of them or as good as them or potentially even better with the way they're playing right now. And if we don't see that, then they're just another one of those sort of mid-table, I'm talking European football. They're sort of one of those like mid-standings teams, and you just kind of like, okay, these guys are good, but they're not good enough, and they're not going to win. You know, where do we go from there?
You know,
but again, it's still relatively early. Yeah, relatively.
Usually, this is more of like a review. Let's talk about the last couple games. But like you said, they need some solid wins. Let's look at next week. Let's just look at the teams they have coming up: Chicago, Carolina, Columbus, and Pittsburgh. That's a pretty solid. And after that, Detroit. That's a pretty solid lineup right there you got going on. Chicago, who's always a fun team to play against. Carolina, up and coming. You know, they're going to give you a little run for your money. You're probably not going to see them in the playoffs, but still, they're a young team. They're doing well. Columbus, yeah, I mean, they're Columbus.
And they're currently fifth. They're only 3 points behind the Caps, though.
Yeah, I mean.
And watch out, Jersey's only two.
Yeah, you talked about Jersey at the beginning. They're showing off. And then Pittsburgh again. So how do you think the Caps will fare? Do you see line changes potentially coming up against these teams? And Chicago, it's Chicago, Carolina back-to-back, and they're both away games. So that's a lot of travel on Friday and Saturday. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do, what happens. What's your call on this?
Well, I feel like the Chicago game may be a little tricky. I feel like they're going to fly out probably that night after the game, and that's always kind of a tricky one for players. But I also kind of wonder if they're going to be a little angry about the way the San Jose game went, and they're going to come out flying. I mean, you know, we all know Chicago's a good team. They're currently first in the Central. I believe they're leading the NHL in points. Oh, no, that's Montreal. They're behind them in second with points at 21. I mean, they're a very good team, and there's a team you want to be tested against and see, are you ready to play with the big boys like we thought they were? And we'll see. I mean, Carolina should be able to go in and beat. Carolina is currently eighth in the Metropolitan and I believe last in the NHL. So you should be able to go in and beat up on them. Or are they tied for last? Yeah, so tied for last in the NHL. So you should be able to go in and beat them. But I feel like if we continually see them struggling against the top teams, then something is very wrong here. And I'm curious as to – it's got to be mental because I don't – based on the roster, they didn't make enough changes that – maybe a couple of changes, but they're just a handful. So I don't feel like it should be the roster is the reason – the problem because they didn't – have these issues last season.
The Capitals, you mean?
Yeah. They didn't have these struggles in terms of the lineup and how it reflected upon the team and their performance. And I feel like with, you know, Eller and Connolly are the big changes from last season. The defense is pretty much the same. You just change the pairings, but I don't feel like that's enough to cause you to necessarily lose games like you did against Edmonton and San Jose. These are losses that the offense didn't show up as much as it needed to be or at all against San Jose. And so I feel like it's a mental thing right now, and that's up to the coaching staff to get these guys out of it and get them focused and get them on their game.
Defense was really bad in that San Jose game. I don't know if it's time to pull the trigger, but maybe you know, move the lines around a little bit, see if a different pairing will work with different players. I don't know what you do with Schmidt or Orlov if you kind of move them around to who they're paired with right now. But, I mean, maybe Trotz is thinking about doing that the next couple games. Let me ask you, though, what do you think of Zach Sanford so far? Has this kid delivered what the Caps were hoping for? I think he's still trying to find his place in the NHL, and I think the Caps are also trying to figure out, you know, where he's going to be.
I feel like he's a guy who there were, I don't know, maybe the expectations were too high, but I'm not expecting him to go out and light it up. Like, he's not Austin Matthews. He's definitely not Patrick Lane. Or is it Line A, right? The kid in Winnipeg. He's not Line A. He's not Austin Matthews. He's not McDavid up in Edmonton. But I'd like to see a little more out of him. You know, a little bit. A little more – some more things going on. But we'll see how he does. And I don't necessarily think it's the top guys that we need to see a little more from. I feel like we're getting some offense from the bottom six. I'd like to see the second line be a little more solidified. I'd like to see a solidified lineup for a little while and have that work.
Yeah, I mean, it has moved around a lot. That's kind of like Trotz's MO, though. He likes to juggle up the lines.
He does switch him up from time to time.
I gotta say, we talked about it to start off this season, but Tom Wilson, he is looking good on the second line. He's really coming to his own. He seems to be playing better, making better decisions. I think it was on Caps Talk that they said that he's only had like 10 minutes in the penalty box. That's it. He's taken less penalties than ever before. He's barely there. I think Lars Eller was in the penalty box more than him in the last game. So You know, I like that pairing of him and Kuznetsov. I think those two work well together. I don't know if I'd really move him around, but potentially maybe they move Wilson Oshie around. Potentially maybe see him getting top line minutes and maybe him and Oshie switching.
Want Tom Wilson on the first line.
I don't. I swear to you. I swear to you, I don't. But he has shown he can be more than a goon in the last couple games. And for me to say that, I didn't think he was going to do anything this year. I thought he was going to be a first round bust for the Capitals. But did you see enough from him for maybe Trotz to make that move?
No, I have not. I'm still in favor of the Ovechkin, Backstrom, or Kuznetsov, Oshie line. I feel like that is your top pairing. I can understand the desire to switch things around a bit if you want to spread the wealth in terms of goal scoring, but you have Marcus Johansson, who's been playing very well and getting a lot of goals, and he's going to the net. And so I feel like it's just – I really do feel like it's more of a mental thing with these guys right now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the players themselves. It's a mental thing. They need to just get more, I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist.
maybe they're being really smart and not getting burned out too quickly like last year. Maybe they know.
I mean, that's a possibility.
At this point, they're like, look, we got until April. Why don't we just kind of chill out the first couple games, you know, and not beat ourselves up.
There's a little bit of a pattern here where they don't, they're losing to the top teams. So what we really need to see is these guys beat a team that has a winning record or is a team that's expected to go into the playoffs.
They need to beat Pittsburgh next week.
Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago are the three games they need to. I'd like to see them win at least two of those.
Yes. 100% there with you. So I got to tell you. All right. So I got to tell you about this election night game. It's been a while, like I said, that I've been to Verizon Center. Me and my buddy Phil, you know Phil, we went to college together. Mm-hmm. We're homies. Yeah. We got into the arena. It was dead silent when we got in there. It was kind of eerie because I was like, where is everyone and why isn't anyone making any noise? And we're like on the first floor. We kind of do a lap seeing all the different tables and everything they have set up. And like nobody was talking. Everybody was very quiet. And I actually got one of these. I spent a ton of money at the Caps game, which I normally don't do. But I got one of these. I'll tell everybody on there. I'll show Dan. Look, I got one of the official warm up pucks for the night, which was actually something really cool that the Caps do. It has the date, and it actually says Election Night 2016 on the puck.
Jeez. And it's sort of like beat up a little bit, so it shows you, or, you know, well, that was on the ice.
The coolest part was when I picked this one up, it was still wet and it was still cold from being on the ice. So you know this is an officially used puck. They're only $10. And I always get a puck whenever I go to a game. So this is cool that it has the date, the matchup. It says Election Night 2016.
Where do you get that?
It's outside of Section 103. You get a voucher, and after the first period, you go down and you pick one up. They're only $10, and it goes to the Monumental Sports charity. Some of the money goes there. So I'm.
So you go to this. Wait, sorry. So I'm trying to figure out. So you go outside 103. You pay for like an opportunity to come down after the first, and then you go down there and you're like, "Here's my ticket."
Yeah. Yeah,
and just randomly pick one.
It's a table. You know, they have like the Red Rockers set up and they have season ticket.
Yeah.
It was one of those tables. And they said, you know, after the first, we'll get the bucket of used warm-up pucks. And after you give us your ticket, or if you just want to buy one. Like, I bought one at the beginning of the night just so I knew I would get one. But they just sell them. And it's right there. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. I wonder what happens if, like, they sell too many tickets.
I'm sure they have a certain amount of tickets.
Somebody comes up. Awkward.
Yeah.
We got enough.
And then let me show you this. This is really cool. This was at the Verizon Team Store. This is an official skate mug.
How does that stand up?
It's glass.
Oh, it's flat. Okay, I see. From the angle you initially had it at, it looked like the skate was actually pretty thin.
No, the skate is actually pretty pretty big. It's an actual skate. It's made of it's glass. Can hold a beer. It has the Caps logo on it. I've been bugging these guys on Twitter and Instagram because they're a Canadian company and they didn't have a Caps one. So when I saw this at the Caps game, I'm like, holy crap, I need to buy this. It holds a whole bottle of beer. which was cool. But I kind of want these guys to come on the podcast because I think I poured it incorrectly. I got all foam the first time I did this.
That's got rookie mistake.
Well, I've never poured into a shoe before, you know? So, you know,
you've never drank in anything out of a shoe. Come on.
Yeah. So like, you know, it has a toe or whatever and the beer goes in there and it's really cool. I'm going to try to bug these guys to come on the podcast and talk to me about how to fill this thing correctly.
Be sure to listen to the future, folks, to find out how to fill a beer.
It's quite good. So then Phil and I, we go up. Our seats are in the cheapies. We're one row off the ceiling, and cheap seats, really cheap on StubHub. Even though StubHub, the amount that I paid for the tickets, I paid more in fees afterwards. But whatever. Game starts, and the arena's pretty much like half empty. There's almost, you know, it looks like there's just rows and rows of empty seats. The game starts, and again, just silent. And I think because it was election night, everybody was on their phones trying to see, like, what was going on and wasn't really paying attention to the game. It was a weird feeling to be there that night because you could definitely tell, like, the game and the Caps were second to what was going on in our country. Outside the walls of hockey, which is why I went to the game, because I didn't want to watch the news as the night unfolded. I wanted to watch the Caps to kind of get my mind off of what was going on.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk politics here. That's what...
No. This is for hockey.
Yeah, that's what hockey is all about. It's to take your mind off of other things. But it was such a weird experience to be there that night, because I've never been to a hockey game where it's so quiet. There's like, they did the, you know, the organ or whatever, and people clapped, but everyone around me, like, nobody was talking about Ovi or Backstrom or whatever. It was what was going on in politics that day. So very, very strange experience. I mean, definitely not what I expected going to that game on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I think the only game I've been to so far is the opener. So,
and you didn't get a warm up puck for the opener?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Come on.
What section did you say it was in?
103.
All right. Next time I go to a game, I'm going to have to text you and ask again where it is. But yeah, Brandon, I forgot again. Yeah, I might do that. You said only $10? That's actually, I mean, I don't really go and get a lot of pucks. Like, I only have two at home that I got from the Rockville Ice Arena, and they're supposedly signed by Carlson and Rod Langway. Oh, nice. But those are the only two like things I have. But I feel like that would be kind of cool. I mean, it's not signed, but it's still kind of cool to have one that like was used as a warm up.
Think about if you take like a girl on a date or something. Like, this is a great souvenir to buy her. Be like, hey, didn't we have a great time? Here's a way to remember me by this little piece of rubber.
Here's a frozen piece of rubber. oh, that sounds so wrong. it'd be cool. I have to get a little case for it though. That has to be signed. I know we have one. Years ago, we went to a game. Kate and I went. We got, it's like tickets, and you get like a free puck signed by a player. We ended up getting, you have to pick. And we got her Brooks like one. And then I think we were at Kettler once, and she got a puck. We were like, was it during preseason? And there's still like young kids playing, and we stayed for a scrimmage between like the A and B team or whatever. And then afterwards, we were walking by, and one of the refs had just got off the ice, and he had a bunch of pucks with him. And she was like, "Oh, can I have one?" And he was like, "Sure." And then, so we have like one that was used at like, you know, in the preseason practices in the house somewhere. So that was cool. But yeah, we have a couple. But yeah, I think actually one that was used before a game, it was kind of fun. You know, the players kind of knocked it around, and they just, you know, it's only $10 for charity. It's a good deal.
Yeah. It's a good call by the Caps doing that. It's a great little souvenir. Cheapy souvenir. I usually go to the Hershey Bears Booster Club because they do sign pucks for $7 of Hershey Bears players. So I have a Madison Bowie, and I forget who the other one I had was. Because I go and get
the Madison Bowie one smell a little weird.
It's, you know, had a little bit of a stench to it, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, I got some news about the Hershey Bears, but I'll wait until down on the farm. But have we covered everything for the Caps?
We didn't talk about the bobblehead vote.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Brandon, tell us about that from the game.
So they had CNN, Wolf Blitzer, I think he's CNN, and a couple other people do breaking news every time there was a stoppage of play, and it was like Braden Holtby has pulled ahead, the Holt Beast, and like they actually had Wolf Blitzer saying stuff about the Capitals and Verizon Center and everything. I never saw a ballot at Verizon Center that I could vote for. I guess you could do it online as well, but I never saw a ballot for who you wanted to vote for. Holt Beast pretty much had it the entire night. And they had Wolf Blitzer announce it at the game that the Holt Beast was the one that won. So I'm a little... Did they have Wolf Blitzer like do three separate videos? Or did they always know it was going to be Holtby? I don't know. But I thought
I mean, I felt like he probably was a little busy on Tuesday to shoot that. Right. So my guess is they probably just had him do three. I mean, was it a long video? I haven't seen it.
No, I think it was just in-game entertainment. It was maybe like a minute and a half, and they had different. It was kind of cool. They had bobbleheads of Caps past, like would nod their heads or whatever when a certain player won. So they would do like a pan and show, you know, Rod Langway and other players, and Jay Beagle would like do a voice for his bobblehead, which his bobblehead is friggin' terrible. Looks nothing like Jay Beagle at all.
Well, it's really a bobblehead, man.
But it's really bad.
It's a bobblehead is all I can say.
But it was all about politics. It was all about it was CNN Wolf Blitzer. Holt Beast won. I mean, people kind of looked up from their phones. They're like, oh, that's cool. I'll come back in March. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. I figured it was going to be Holtby.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think the Wilson one was probably – that one came in second. But that one I think was the lamest. I was hoping for Williams. I felt like his was probably the funniest one. With that hair.
Yeah, really, Holtby's was the least funny. I mean, it was just kind of like true to form of him.
It was very basic. Like, the other two were kind of jokes, and that one was just like, this is Braden.
Yeah. All right, so what else we got to talk about?
I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, the team's not playing as well as they should be. They're beating teams that aren't very good, but they're getting beat pretty well by teams that are good. And so, I mean, I think the Penguins game is kind of the outlier in that because it was early. But... You know, this team has got to start playing better hockey against teams that are good.
All right, so that's it for Caps World. Caps got some work to do. Hopefully they can get that done. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. And before we talk about the Bears and the Stingrays, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, guys, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Springfield, Albany, and Rochester, including a 4-0 shutout over Albany that got goalie Vitek Vanacek, your boy, his first AHL shutout. So congratulations to him. Well, I thought that was pretty cool.
Let me tell you, we've been saying his first name wrong this entire time.
It's not Vitek?
It is Vitek.
Oh, what? There's an I, though.
I know. So I was listening to the Caps podcast, and John Walton had the radio voice from the Hershey Bears on, and they're like, how's Vitek doing? Vitek's doing really well. Vitek Vanacek, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, it's Vitek? How is it? There's an I there. But
this is like when we couldn't figure out how to pronounce Galiev's name.
I'm still unsure about that.
Yeah, we're never really sure. Okay, so Vitek. Well, Vitek. If you want to go see Vitek and the Bears, they'll be back at it with three games over the weekend, starting Friday in Albany, and then Saturday is at the Giant Center against Bridgeport, and Sunday at home against Lehigh Valley. Brandon, you said you had some news about the Bears, or was that at the Vitek?
That was the news, but I
the just... news for the Bears, we've been saying it wrong
all this time.
The whole time.
I got an email from them today, though. I think that if you buy tickets on November 11th, tickets are only $11. If you are intending to go to a game, it might be a good day to buy them.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's pretty cheap. I mean, their tickets aren't that expensive, but even then, that's a good deal.
Yeah, really good deal. I'll go to a game.
$11. That's, you know, 2 hours of driving, but $11, not bad. Anyways, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays played twice, going 2-0. So that's right. The minor leagues won a total of 5-0 over the past week. Stingrays got wins. Both of them were actually over Elmira, both in overtime. So at least they were consistent.
It's very
a little
true.
Weird, but worked out. Stingrays, next three games before we talk again are tonight, that being Thursday. I saw on Twitter that they just killed off a penalty, but I don't know the score yet. They also play Saturday and Sunday. All of these games are at home against Orlando. I really hope there's something fun in Charleston for the Orlando players to do, as it seems like they'll be spending quite a lot of time there. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, guys, so that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now we're going to go around the NHL. All right, guys, we're going to go around the NHL. You know someone's been concussed or suspended. Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
None of those things have happened, I think so.
What?
I feel like someone got suspended, but I may have missed it, but I don't care. But unfortunately, we're going to have to start on a somber note, as former Colorado forward Marek Svatos passed away on Saturday at the age of 34. Yeah. Svatos last played in the NHL during the 2010-11 season with Ottawa. He is survived by his wife and two sons, and at this time, no cause of death has been announced. But that was some pretty shocking news from back over the weekend.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's Jacob Trouba ended his holdout and rescinded his trade demand and signed a two-year deal with the Jets. I'll bet walking into the locker room with the boys after sitting out for the first 13 games wasn't awkward at all. Hey, guys, I'm back. Hey, guys, why aren't you talking to me? The Rangers sent defenseman Dylan McElrath to Florida for defenseman Steven Kampfer and a conditional seventh-round pick. Chicago and St. Louis revealed their Winter Classic jerseys. Brandon, did you see these?
I did not. Who did this now?
Chicago and St. Louis. Chicago's is pretty standard. It's not that exciting. But the St. Louis ones, I'm really liking those. People are saying they're very San Diego Chargers. They're like a light powder blue and a yellow. But you can check them out at NHL.com or I'm sure at the Blackhawks or Blues websites. Brandon, we'll give you a moment here to look them up while I give the last little bit of news, as finally the new Las Vegas franchise is expected to announce their team name and logo on November 22nd. The team is at the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I believe that is. No, sorry, Tuesday before Thanksgiving. The team is expected to be named the Desert Knights, Silver Knights, or Golden Knights. That's a lot of names and letters for a team. I mean, that's four different words. That's a bit much. But yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, so the Blackhawk ones are pretty much the exact ones they wore in DC.
Yeah, they're not terribly exciting.
Except I think the C on their arm is now gold instead of red like it was at...
Whoa! Big change.
Now, the Blues are definitely blue.
Oh, they are super blue.
It kind of looks like the color rush thing that the NFL is doing on Thursday night games.
Can we talk about how that's stupid?
Yes, it is terrible and dumb.
I hate it. It's so dumb.
Can I tell you how much I hate just Thursday football in general? It's I know they're trying to get more funding and more advertisers on a different day for football, but my biggest gripe is that it ruins Thanksgiving because, like, Thanksgiving Thursday was like a special treat that you got to watch football on Thanksgiving. Now that you're watching it every Thursday throughout the season, it's not as special, it's not as fun, it's not as important as it was on Thanksgiving. But I hate Thursday night football. I hate the color rush. It's like a gimmick from a college team. I don't like it. The Blues, let me just say, I think it's a lot of blue. I don't know. I kind of
like the Blues ones. I would, if I was a Blues fan, I would totally get that jersey. And again, it annoys me that the Capitals missed out on a great opportunity to come up with a really good Winter Classic jersey.
Maybe if they changed the color of the pants, I'd be a little bit more onto it. Jerseys by themselves, I kind of like them, even though they kind of look like the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, that the common theme there has been they look like the Chargers.
Yeah. But not breaking the mold, nothing like that.
I like them. I like them. Very, very, very classy. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, I guess so.
Very classy.
I'm not buying either one. I'll buy a Blackhawks one if I can get it on eBay and it has Griswold on the back, but that's it.
I don't imagine. Well, actually, someone will probably do it.
Yeah, somebody's definitely doing that, and somebody's going to put Harambe on the back of one, too.
All right, settle down.
There you are. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
All right, anything else we should cover for this show?
No.
We're all wrapped up.
I think we're wrapping it up. The Caps are, I mean, it's hard to say they're struggling because
they're winning.
They're winning
the majority of the time.
But they also haven't played that many teams that are playing well. Or I mean, they're beating teams that are not very good or teams that are struggling with injuries. We have yet to see them beat a team that's doing really well. So we'll see. It's, you know, it's interesting right now. But this next week is going to be telling.
They need to win. They need to win two of these next four games. They need to win. Well, they need to win at least one of these coming up because two of them should be shoe-in wins. So let's go over it. You know, normally we talk about
I'll do this first.
Twitter and everything, but let's go over it. So Friday night, November 11th, the Capitals are in Chicago against the Blackhawks. That game is at 8:30. Man, that's a late one. 8:30, and that is on Comcast Sportsnet Plus here locally. On Saturday, November 12th, the Capitals are in Carolina. Comcast Sportsnet's where you can watch that at 7 o'clock. Watch that before the big UFC 205 fight coming from Madison Square Garden. Conor McGregor's going to win that one. And then on Tuesday, November 15th, the Capitals are in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Wednesday, it is Wednesday night, rivalry night. The Capitals are back home up against the Pens. That game's at 7:30, and that will be nationally on NBC Sports. So I guess we'll do a show next Thursday on the 17th.
Yeah. I think the next two Wednesdays they're playing, so they got a nice little homestand coming up after the three away games.
Yeah, they're going to be celebrating five Thanksgiving games in home. D.C.
Yeah, just, well, I would say like me, not you, because you live in Baltimore.
That's true. But
so that comment wouldn't have made any sense if I'd said it.
So Carolina and Columbus, they should be 100% wins. The toss-up now is Chicago and Pittsburgh. I'm going to say I'd like them to win all four, but they need to
be. Well, that'd be phenomenal.
They need to.
I would take that.
Yeah, 100%. They need to beat Pittsburgh. I don't care if it's in a shootout, if it's overtime, whatever. They need to beat Pittsburgh because there's not a monkey on their back. There's a penguin on their back, and they're still suffering from last April's loss. They need to beat them. They need to be sure of themselves and know that the Penguins are beatable. And yes, there's a good chance you see them in the playoffs, but you got to play better to make the playoffs too.
Ain't that the truth?
All right, so if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to me. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can find, if you want to go back and look at the bobblehead writings, we had a little round table discussion to some extent. Not really a discussion, more our views and our votes on who should have won the bobblehead thing, of which I was not the only one that said Justin Williams. And Brandon's showing me a bobblehead right now. But you can actually find the link to it at CapitalsAdvisor.com, then go to bobbleheads. And you can also actually find some of these old ones, the slapshot ones from, was it last year?
2 years ago.
It's been 2 years. They had ones that were sort of theme related based around New Year's, Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's Day.
Valentine's Day.
And Easter. And Valentine's Day. You find some of those actually at Monumental Networks. Store was actually where I Googled and found them. I don't think they had the St. Patrick's one, Brandon, that you were showing. But yeah, if you want to find some great writings about the Capitals, this fan-run website is CapitalsOutsider.com. You can find my writing that I made last week about the bobble. Actually, it was earlier this week. Came out about the bobbleheads. But Brandon, why don't you tell us Brando Cash Entertainment?
So go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and Brando Cash Entertainment. Go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, 2 P's in that title. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And make sure you follow the show on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please write an iTunes review. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snap. Actually, I got to take Vine out of there. They quit. They stopped Vine.
It's gone. It's done.
It's gone. Quit. Yeah, I got to take that out of there. Talk about us on Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and every other mobile thing that you use. Say, I'm a Caps fan. The Caps are going to beat the Blackhawks and the Penguins. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. I hope you guys enjoyed What the Puck. There's lots of hockey coming up. We will be back next week after the Penguins game. Everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.